The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello and welcome to Millennial Musings with Donovan Carroll. I know it's been a little while since my last show. I wanted to wait this month to release my next show because I went to the March for Life. And I wanted to tell you about the March for Life. I'm just going to jump right in. So I get there. I'm walking up to the crowd, past the Washington Monument, past a big flock of geese, past people running and cycling and whatever. Washington Monument to my right, White House to my left, Capitol Building on the horizon, and I see a pretty big crowd of people. I don't know how many are there. I'm there 2 hours before the actual rally, before the march started. So there was a decent crowd, but there wasn't many. And I just wanted to point out some of these posters I saw. One woman was carrying one that said, "I was raped and I love my son and grandson." And she was smiling and she was saying hello to people. And everyone at the march was smiling and they were saying hello to people. And I'll get to that later, but I just want to preface this by saying the March for Life, it stands against one of the greatest evils of our time, yes, but it's more of a testament to life, to the joy of life, than it is to the scorn and sadness that comes with abortion. So I'm walking around and I see this woman holding up a sign that says, "I regret my abortion," and I'm intrigued. So I walk up to her and introduce myself and we start talking, and she says, "You know, hello, how are you?" She's very timid. I don't think she wants to talk. But I press a little bit and I say, "Hey, like, can I talk to you? Can I interview you? My name's Donovan." And she says, "Fine, okay, yeah, I'll answer any questions you have. I know that the sign says come talk to me for a reason," but she was nervous. It's obvious that it was a hard topic for her to talk about. I'm asking her questions and she's telling me about how her daughter Danielle, she aborted. And I asked her why. I won't say her real name because she asked for anonymity, but we'll call her Jane. And I asked Jane, "You know, why do you march?" And she said, "I march for my daughter. I march for my daughter who should be here, who's supposed to be here, who deserves to be here." Jane went on and she said she had hope. And I asked her, "Why are you carrying this sign?" And she said she wants to show people that there's hope. She explained that after her abortion, she was suicidal. She couldn't believe what she'd just done. Hope and God pulled her out of it. You know, she was smiling and we were crying and I was crying and she was crying, and it was just a beautiful experience. She was obviously scarred, but scars heal. And she was pointing out that life is a gift and life is joyful. And she was telling me she wished she could tell this to people considering abortions. So then the rally started, and we have a lot of different speakers, but a couple that stuck out to me. One was Representative Boettler from Washington. She's a woman. Her daughter was there. Her daughter couldn't have been more than 3 or 4. And she's saying how her daughter had a lung disease in the womb, and she wasn't supposed to live. At 20 weeks, they said, "Hey, listen, either abort it or we're going to induce labor because this baby has a 0% chance." And the representative said, "I don't want to do that, you know? Like, let's go find doctors who will do experimental treatment." So they did. And the little girl survived. She was fine. She was up there on stage waving to us. She was so happy. You know, she pointed to a balloon that the crowd had just released, and she said, "Mommy, do you see the balloon?" And her mom's trying to talk to, you know, like 300,000 people, so she can't really address her daughter. But it was adorable. I don't know how to explain it, but it was so joyful how that little miracle up on stage was there with her mom when she wasn't supposed to be there. And the representative made a good point. She said, "Imagine if the media put as much emphasis on finding ways to improve the quality of life for babies, or to improve the quality of life or improve survival rates for babies in the womb, instead of pushing an agenda, instead of pushing the culture of death," as Pope John Paul II put it. You know, she made a good point. You know, we give hundreds of millions to Planned Parenthood every year. Imagine if we gave those hundreds of millions to neonatal research, or to research for, obviously, just children in the womb, or to support children who are born in bad situations. That's money that conservatives could get behind, you know? Allocate that money to something that really matters. We're already spending it. An actual good cause would be to preserving the health and quality of life of children in the womb, and to help figure out why we're having all these infant mortality rates, why these women are having complications. The congresswoman's brought up some good points like that. So the speaker after her was Sister Madonna from the Sisters of Life. And Sister Madonna told this touching story. It involved a woman named Raquel that they were ministering to. And Raquel said, I would never have an abortion, but I would never tell a woman what to do. And one day she was on an elevator going up in the hospital. She had a doctor's appointment. And she's on an elevator with a woman bawling her eyes out. And Raquel says, what's wrong? And the woman says, I'm pregnant. And Raquel says, congratulations. And the woman says, no, I have to get an abortion. And at that moment, Raquel could feel her baby stirring in her womb. And she took the woman's hand and placed it on her stomach. And they felt a kick. And for a second there, the woman's tears of sadness from wanting an abortion became tears of joy at having just experienced the miracle of life. Raquel did not want this woman to have an abortion, you know? The woman still wanted one even after that little miracle, but Raquel explained to her, I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to go help you make your appointment. You're going to have a little girl and you're going to name her Raquel Jasmine, because Jasmine was Raquel's middle name. So they got off the elevator and Raquel went with this woman to schedule her appointment and never saw her again, right? Until 2 years later. And Raquel never knew what happened to that baby in the womb. And in the doctor's appointment, 2 years later, and she sees the same woman pushing a stroller. Not just a single stroller, but a double stroller. She had twins, and she named both those twins Raquel and Jasmine. And Sister Madonna at this point was so joyful, and everyone in the audience was smiling, and I was crying, and the people I was with were crying, and it was a beautiful story. And, you know, Raquel saved a life that year, and the whole point of the March for Life, the whole theme was love saves lives. Love saves lives. And in that situation, it did. Love saved the life of that woman I interviewed earlier. You know, she was suicidal. She was depressed. She realized she had just killed her baby, but love saved her. Love saved her life. And Representative Butler's daughter, her life was saved with love. The representative wasn't ready to give up. And I think that captures the spirit of the March for Life. We don't want to give up. We want to keep fighting. And we want to love. And we want to save lives. And we want to be a testament to the joy of life, not to the sadness of abortion. So eventually the march actually began, of course, after the President of the United States addressed us, which was very significant because mainstream media never covers us. But what the President did by addressing us was force the media to cover it. So that was really cool. And the President said some good things. It was kind of a generic speech, but the fact is he acknowledged it, and he's the first sitting president ever to do so. So as far as I'm concerned, if conservatives aren't on board yet with him, what he's done for the pro-life movement is monumental. It's really incredible. What he's done for women's rights, for authentic feminism, is just awesome. So after all those speakers, we move over, and I'm marching with Students for Life, and the march is beautiful. I have all these people around me, you know, praying rosaries. We were walking in front of a bunch of seminarians chanting Latin hymns, and it was beautiful. All these people were smiling and talking, and there weren't a lot of protesters, but there were enough to be annoying. But it didn't, like, ruin anything. They were just sad, poor, misguided people, but no one was mad at them. That's the difference. At the March for Life, everyone is happy. No one's violent. People are just loving each other. But as the next day at the Women's March, you know, if there would have been a protester, a pro-life protester, we would have been thrown out. We'd be unsafe. It's really mind-boggling. The pro-life people are versus the Women's March people. The Women's March people are awful. Watch William Witt's video on PragerU about what the Women's March is about. It's really funny. And PragerU, speaking of them, actually has a video about the question we should be asking about abortion, and it's about a baby having intrinsic value. And if the answer is yes, then abortion's wrong, obviously. And for some reason, baby animals have intrinsic value. For some reason, babies have intrinsic value when we want them to, but babies don't have intrinsic value when they're an inconvenience or when they're conceived out of rape. We pick and choose when babies have intrinsic value, and that's weird because that's not the definition of intrinsic. You know, in some states, it's a double murder to kill a pregnant woman. We've given babies intrinsic value, but then when a mother wants to kill her baby, suddenly we take that value away. When a mother doesn't want to be a mother, we call that empowerment. But when a father doesn't want to be a father, we, with justifiable reason, call him a deadbeat. And I don't understand that double standard. But anyways, the March for Life was awesome. Hundreds of thousands of people there. I got to tour a whole bunch of things, all the monuments, all the buildings, went to the National Archives, went to the galleries and the Capitol building. I got to see some senators and some representatives argue. And most of all, the march, the whole weekend was good because I got to see joy. I got to see, again, people testify to the joy of life, not the evils of abortion. And that was so beautiful. And I really just wanted to cover the March for Life and share that with you and say, even if you're a person who's pro-choice, you should go on the March for Life, because it's so joyful. You meet people of all backgrounds marching together. The only thing I didn't like about it was the people trying to use shock value. The people who show pictures of butchered fetuses and who have the sounds of abortion, of the baby screaming during their abortions going. And I didn't think that was necessary, because we at the March already know how evil abortion is. We don't need to be reminded of that. But other than that, it was perfect. It was honestly a perfect weekend. I got to go to Mass in the Basilica, the Immaculate Conception Basilica. Please do that if you get the chance. Even if you're not Catholic, do that. It's an incredible building. But I'd like to cover more about why I think abortion is wrong in the future. But for now, I wanted to focus on the joy of the March for Life and just how powerful it was, the hope it brought. Hopefully, we don't have to do many more marches for life, because justice will be done. But for now, we march and we testify to the joy of life, and we love each other, because love saves lives. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next month.